Okay, this is a call out to my listeners. I do not have a lot of sponsors for this podcast on purpose because I don't want to waste your time with products I am not crazy about. Well, I do have two that I am crazy about. The first one is LLC TLC. This is where you can save money on your car registration. Every year, you can set up a Montana LLC and pay no sales tax on your vehicle purchases, which is really amazing. Now, you can also permanently register your classic cars in Montana to avoid any annual renewal fees. And as your registered agent, LLC TLC will handle everything for you, so you never have to step foot in Montana to take advantage of this incredible offer. Now, as a listener of this podcast, they are offering 30% off your entire package. Now, to get this, simply go to LLCTLC.com/classic or mention this podcast when you call them directly. My other big sponsor of this podcast is Euro Classics out of Dayton, Ohio. Now, that's Euro Classic with an X.com. If you want to reach them in person, you can reach them at 937-299-1311. Now, this is where I get all of the work done on my Porsche. I just had my GTO in there. My Mustang's been in there. It is the place to go if you want awesome service at an extremely competitive price. So when you go there, just ask for Dale and tell him that I sent you. All right. Hey, it's Greg Stanley with the Collector Car Podcast. I am super thrilled to have this guy, Jay Leno.
How are you?
Good. I appreciate it. This is my big 30th episode.
30th or 300th?
I'm sorry, 300th.
300th.
It's more impressive, 300 versus 30,
so,
right?
Yeah, I think so.
So I'm fortunate to be here because Jay just drove my 66 Pontiac GTO. Why don't you give a little teaser? Not too much, but...
No, great car. A nice 100% original. You know, nothing drives like original. Even when you get something that's rebuilt, there's just something that's not original.
Not, you know? Yeah.
And it's almost the perfect car because it's got the 323 rear end, so you can cruise on the highway with it. It's not screaming at 60. You know, when I first got my 350 Shelby, it had 411s in it, so it's 60. You're like 4,400 RPM or something. You know?
Right.
So I put a 5-speed in and it kept it looking stock, and that made all the difference in the world.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's what's nice about that. It's got air conditioning. It's if it was a Porsche, it would be the touring edition.
Right.
Which is what most people want. You can use it as a regular car, you know. And that's what's fun about yours. It was used as a regular car for years and years until it was stored for 40 years. So that's impressive.
Yeah. I was very fortunate to be asked to sell it. And once I saw it, I realized I couldn't live without this car.
Right.
So I appreciate the opportunity to share the story.
Yeah, no problem.
Now, obviously, you have incredible cars in your collection. And as I look around, I always think, you know, there might be something else that would be cool in your collection. So I've kind of come up with a little list. I'm calling it this or that.
Okay.
Where I give you two cars. And
you
tell me, would you want this one or that one? Or you pick a third option based on your immense knowledge, right?
All right, great.
All right, so the first one, do you have a V16 car in your collection?
Don't have a V16, no.
Okay, so would you rather have the Cadillac, famous Cadillac 1930 V16, or like a Marmon 16?
Probably the Marmon. The Marmon actually was first, but they didn't quite get to market first. GM being a behemoth even back in the day.
Right.
They kind of got the credit for the whole thing. And you're in the middle of the Depression. 16-cylinder cars were just, it was eat the rich, you know. It was
right,
people threw rocks at you. My Duesenberg, I have this car called the Duesenberg Aerodynamic Coupe. It was Josiah Lilly, Eli Lilly Pharmaceutical's son. And when he drove in it, he didn't drive. When he was in it, people throw rocks at you. You look like the landlord coming to get the rent. You know,
right.
Like, oh, you're bad, bad. You know, people eating apples on the street. The car was $27,000 when a Ford was $260.
Right.
You know, so you had that problem. The Cadillac gets all the credit, and it's certainly a great car. They kind of retreated later when they went to the flathead motor,
right?
Which was, I guess, quieter and more dependable. But the overhead valves, synchromesh transmission, so many firsts. The Cadillac was, but it might be a disappointing end. It's a good 45 mile an hour car.
Right.
You get up about 60 and, oh boy, it seems you're kind of pushing a little bit, you know. The torque's all, you know, in those days, the idea was to put it in third gear and just leave it there.
Sure.
Even pull away from a stop.
You know?
So it's not like today. That's why the Duesenberg is the greatest car of the era. because you could drive that at 80, 90 miles an hour, no problem.
Right, yeah.
But of the two, I take the Marmon because it was the rarer, and it was just, I think, a little more interesting.
Do you know why? I've heard you're not allowed to call a Marmon a V16. You have to call it a Marmon 16. Do you know why that fact is out there?
Well, I imagine the V was copyrighted or something.
Oh, right? True. Right. Yeah. Okay. So next one, do you have any BMWs in your collection?
If you define BMW, I have a Bristol, which has the 328 motor,
yeah,
which is one of the great engines of all time. I mean, that's a 2-liter six that feels like a 3.5-liter.
Yeah.
When you drive, you go, geez, this thing has so much torque and power. You got three carburetors on it. Has the weirdest cross...
like ram induction valve, or something?
No, valve.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's really an interesting motor. And Bristol, as part of war preparations, they offered England Volkswagen. You want Volkswagen? He said, no, that's not going anywhere. But we'll take the BMW.
So yeah.
That's what happened. So the Germans kept VW, and the English got BMW. Kept Volkswagen, and the English got BMW. And re-Bristol built it, it's the same engine, but just to perhaps more aircraft standards.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And it's a great motor. It's in that Bristol 403 I know.
It's a beautiful car.
Technically, it's not... You know, I was always a big BMW. I worked for BMW dealer. I loved the 2002, the TII,
mm-hmm.
the CLS coupes. I never cared much for this later generation of styling, and you know, they always were more driver's machines when I left them. Now the dashboard looks like the front desk at the Hilton Inn or something. You know, big thing of wood,
right?
Minimal gauges, no manual transmission. Yeah. But I do like them.
I'm going to give you two, and I think I know the answer now.
Go ahead.
All right. First one, they're both race-inspired, racing history.
All right.
1979 to 1981 BMW M1, so rear engine, only made about 455. The other choice, which might be the more obvious choice, is the late 1930s BMW 328. You said that's a wonderful engine.
Yeah, it feels like a post-war engine. It feels like somebody would have driven in the 60s, 70s, or 80s. I would probably go with the earlier one.
The 328? Okay.
Just because it would impress people. Gee, this car is that old, really? You know,
yeah.
It's that kind of...
Now, do you have a five-cylinder car in your collection?
I did. I had a Mercedes diesel.
Yeah.
In 83, it's the first car I bought new because I used to work for a Mercedes dealer. And it was the only Mercedes you could buy in California. All they had was diesel. You couldn't get a gas car.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it was a turbo diesel. So you had to back up. If the engine was cold and you're on a hill, you had to back up to get up the hill.
Wow. Okay.
Because the gearing, the turbo couldn't kick in.
Right.
It was just a bit slow.
So this is somewhat random here, but new sports car or an older Land Rover. So we got the 2022 Audi TTRS, which has a five-cylinder in it.
Right.
High horsepower, modern amenities, or like a late 90s Land Rover turbo diesel.
I don't get them, the Land Rovers. I don't know. I always find the rear ends fall out of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of problems with them.
Yeah.
I guess they're stylish and they're very posh, as the English say. You pull up to the private school and drop your kid off in it, I guess. But no, I wouldn't want the Land Rover.
Okay. All right. That's fair. All right, I got two more.
All right.
All right. The next one is, I seem to recall when you had David Lee on this with his F40, you were somewhat smitten by that Ferrari F40. Was that true?
I like that car very much, yeah. I like Ferraris a lot. I mean, my problem was not with the Ferrari, it's just with the dealer. If I can't buy it, then what am I doing here, you know? And the idea they have to pay, give a guy named Ace 10 grand in an envelope, and you know, all that kind of nonsense. When Ferrari was the only game in town, you could do that, you know? I always tell the story, when I went to buy my McLaren, I said, let me get the carbon fiber brakes. Guys, do you track it? No, I don't track the car. Don't get the, you'll save 20 grand. I go, really? You believe me, steel brakes are just even better on the street. You don't have to get them hot. All right. And they saved me 20 grand. And then I had the car about 6 months and they said, here's an upgrade to 600 and something horsepower. I said, how much is that? Oh, it's free. You bring it in. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So to me, when I bought my Porsche Carrera, they brought it here on a flatbed with two mechanics. They showed me how to service it when we put it up on the. you know, I wasn't going to get that from a Ferrari dealer. So that's why I bought those cars.
All right, so if you had to pick Ferrari F40 or older, 1962 to 64 Ferrari 250 GT Lusso.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, probably the F40 because it's the last of the true visceral. Right. It was a great car to drive. I mean, it was almost the Italian version of a Cobra. Just minimalist,
right.
Stick,
brutal,
big motor. Yeah, yeah. I think the F40, I think, is the one that will carry the Enzos, and all those are all very nice. But that's proper gearbox.
Right.
You have to you have to know how to drive to use it. You know. To me, all the fun's between 40 and 120.
Right.
Above that, you're just going to jail. Right. You know, you're losing your license. You're in prison now. You're
going to jail or dying. Yeah,
yeah, or something, you know. We had a horrible accident out here where a guy hit 200 on Pacific Coast Highway, hit a light pulse, broke the car in half,
right.
Literally.
Yeah.
And I think he walked away.
Wow.
I mean, it slid sideways, broke off. But that shows you how safe cars have become.
Yeah.
I mean, at 200 miles an hour, it's pretty impressive.
Wow. All right, for the last one, I was kind of looking. It's kind of the doldrums of cars, like 1976 to 1985. Not a lot there. Ended up picking cars that don't quite fit that window. I picked two rally cars, Lancia Delta Integrale.
Yeah.
And I know you recently did a special with Tim Allen on his Ford RS 200. So if you had to pick between one of those two cars, either one of those interests you at all?
Well, they both interest me.
Yeah.
The Ford was pretty unbelievable. It's four-wheel drive, right?
Good-looking car, too.
Yeah, the other one is rear-wheel-only car.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I would probably go with the rear-wheel-only.
Okay.
Only because I'm not a race car driver, but if I can slide the tail out a little bit and correct it.
Have some fun.
Well, they just have... It's fun. You know, I don't need to... I'm not really trying to win a race or hit some sort of speed record on a public road. It's just there's a little water in the road, and I hit the tail, and it slides out, and I can tell. I mean, it's like busy work, you know? It's just stuff to keep you entertained. So I would probably go for that one, only because it's a bit more exotic, and it's Italian.
Right, and yeah. All right. Well, thanks for playing my little game, This or That. I appreciate it.
Okay, is that it?
That's it.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. That's pretty good.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jay. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening to the Collector Car Podcast. Don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes and be sure to follow us on Instagram and everywhere else at the Collector Car Podcast.